Remain standing, take your Bibles out. I want to read our text before we have our special song this morning. Turn them over to Ephesians chapter number 5, Picking up where we left off last week, we're talking about the Christian home. And all month long, we've been talking about standing for the Christian home. Of course, our theme all year long is stand in the Lord. Be able to stand, be able to withstand. And having done all to stand therefore, this month's topic is the Christian home. And we need to stand for the Christian home. And thus far, we talked about how God made one man and one woman, put them together and called that marriage. I don't care what society calls it. That's what God calls it. And then also, we saw the roles defined. And last week, we saw the wife's role. Now today, we're going to see the husband's role. Amen. Wives were getting a lot of elbows last week from the husbands. And now this week, it's time for the wives. Wives give the husbands some elbows, amen. And of course, we understand that that's all in fun, amen. But want God to speak to hearts. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. I'm going to start reading, then I'll ask you to join in a little bit down the way. Ephesians 5, 21. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ooh, my. Join in with me at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. The Bible gives clear, distinct role definition of what the husband's job is, what the wife's job is. Then you get in Ephesians chapter 6, tells what the child's role is. Wives are to be submissive. The husband's job is to love. Children's job is to obey. And I tell you, if we could get back to that in our society, what a difference it would make. What a difference it would make. This world would be turned right side up from the wrong way that it is right now. God is good. And God has assigned the roles that has been given. And you need to embrace and accept your role. Wives don't try to be husbands. Husbands don't try to be wives. And adults don't try to be children. And children don't try to be adults. Doesn't work that way, amen. We'll give more information on that, and then we'll talk about the husband and his role today. But you know, none of this is going to do us any good if we're not born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again in order for this to happen. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because it says be filled with the Spirit. You can't be filled with the Spirit unless you're born again. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that today. The role of the husband that's been assigned to him. And men, I trust that we're endeavoring to be the man of God that he's called us to be. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, now we thank you for what you've laid down in the scriptures, the word of God. Thank you how it's very, very clear what we should be doing and how we should do it. Lord, I pray that as we look at the word of God today, you might touch our hearts in a marvelous and miraculous way. Holy Spirit, walk the aisles of this church and this congregation. And Lord, bring conviction where conviction is needed. Bring correction where correction is needed. Lord, most of all, bring conversion where conversion is needed. introduce someone to Christ today, they may see their need for Jesus Christ. They might see that they are undone without Christ. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray for every man, a woman, boy, or girl that's here today, that the message may speak to them in a special way, like only you can, by your Holy Spirit's power. Everyone has come today to hear from you, Lord, so I pray that the message would be brought upon their ears and then touch their hearts and go to their head to make a decision for Jesus Christ today. The wives may be submissive, husbands would love, children would be obedient. Lord, those that are not born again would become born again today, trusting in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection applied to their account. Lord, we know at the end of the day, the wages of sin is death in a place called hell. But we understand the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless now, next moments that we have together, that you would get all praise, honor, and glory. Magnify your word, magnify your son. Holy Spirit, do your job in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.
He has for you. Step out in simple.
Well, it is a time like this. And you know, the song talks about, is there a time like this you've been created for? God created man for a purpose. He created woman for a purpose. And that's to bring honor and glory unto him. And we can't do that unless our roles are being played properly. That's what we've been talking about the last couple weeks here in dealing with the Christian home. The Christian home seems to be a thing that's gone to the wayside. But let me assure you, there are a lot of homes that are very vibrant right now with the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit walking and working inside the home. And we may be the minority, but guess what? God can change America still through the minority of the Christians that are here. And I am always amazed at what God can do with a little bit. You give God a little bit and he can work a lot with it. Amen. You take us, you know, dirt, clay sinners, but God can work marvelous things through the power of God in our lives. Amen. And we've talked about the wife last week and her role. And today we're going to finish looking at the man and the children, of course, so we'll come later. But first, we must know what role has been assigned to us. God has assigned your role as a male or a female. And by the way, when he made you, he did not make a mistake. You've got people going through sex changes like God couldn't make up his mind what he wanted you to be. He made you exactly what he wanted you to be when you were born. Amen. Amen. Don't give in to a sinful nature that says, well, God made a mistake. I've got too much femininity in me. I've got too much masculinity in me. God must have made a mistake. Let me assure you, God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes at all. If you're a male, then your role is husband in the marriage, and your job is primarily as priest, provider, protector, and preventer. If you're a female, then your role in the marriage is a wife. You perform primarily as a helpmeet, homemaker, and housewife. Working outside the home is fine, I said last week, but if the home is lacking, that's not a good idea. Amen. The Bible gives the details of how these roles are played and gives you the instructions here in Ephesians and other areas as well. And the biblical Christian home is two, a man and a woman, and not two men or two women. That's God's way. You say, preacher, can you prove that physically? Yes, I can. Two men can't reproduce and two ladies can't reproduce. Only thing they can do is make a mess. Amen. But you put a man and woman together, they can produce physically children. And God said, be fruitful and multiply. And so I don't care what man has to say about it. God is still in charge. God puts us in a home as a child, then later as a husband or a wife, if we so choose. And then we just need to follow our lines in scripture because the script never changes. Wives should submit, children, a husband should love, and children should obey. And I know we're not perfect people, and I know we don't have perfect homes. But let me tell you, friend, we've got a perfect God. Amen. And we've got a perfect Holy Spirit, and we've got a perfect book called the Bible. Amen. Tells you how to get things done in the home. Amen. And folks would just follow God's plan, we wouldn't have a problem. Amen. The Christian marriage is under attack today, and over 50% of couples are being divorced, and the number is soaring. And I gave you this statistic last week, 75% of military marriages end in divorce. Wow. We've got an Air Force base here, and I'm prior military, and I've seen quite a few. And I said this last week, many marital difficulties and divorces today range from hurt feelings and wounded spirits. Hurt feelings and wounded spirits. And I said there's two basic sources to these hurt feelings and wounded spirits. Number one, conditionals, which say, if you will, I will. And by the way, there's no if you will, I do, I will. That's it. That settles it. Don't say, well, if you will, I will. I said I do, and that's all that matters. You say, what if she said I don't? Then we don't get married. But if she says I do, and if she says something later on, I'm still going to say I do.
Amen.
And I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. You say, what if she leaves? I'll follow her. Conditional state, if you will, I will. If you'll be faithful, I'll be faithful. If you'll love me, I'll love you. And that doesn't work. And it says, if you won't, I won't. Comparative state, why can't you be more like my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, Billy, Susie, Bobby, or Sam? That were the case, you should have married them. So we begin to look at some prerequisites to performing the roles. And we started up there in verse number 18. And notice what he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You cannot be filled with the Spirit if you're not born again. Once you get born again, God gives you the Spirit that indwells you. And you say, preacher, well, how can you say that? Because it's Bible and it's true. Amen. And the Spirit of God dwells in you and stays in you. Amen. And he doesn't leave you and he does not forsake you. And I'm praising God for that. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. And I hope you're glad you're saved. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, that of works lest any man should boast. And so we know that we're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And once we're saved over here, he says, you can be filled with the Spirit of God. And so he says, there's a filling that needs to take place. And by the way, performance in marriage is motorized by the Spirit. He said, be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God motorizes us and we sing by the Spirit. Notice what he says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts. I mentioned last week, if you're singing and making melodies in your hearts, you got less time to complain.
Amen. Pastor, amen.
Amen. Giving thanks down there, speaking to God. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. By the way, have you thanked God for your husband today? Have you thanked God for your wife today? Have you thanked God for your children today? Giving thanks always, amen. The Bible says, giving thanks always for how many things? All things. Praise God, I got married back in January 1984 to the most beautiful woman in the world, the most special woman in the world. Praise God for his grace on my life. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my children. You say, preacher, but they caused you to go bald. I was bald before I had children. I didn't have to pull out nay hair on any of them. It was already gone. Giving thanks always. And so performance is motorized by the Spirit of God. He said, be filled and do some things. Then participation is mandated. He says, hey, look, submitting yourselves one to another, verse 21. He says, give yourselves to each other to give yourselves to God. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. And then participation is not only mandated, but it's mutual. He said one to another. And then it's in view of the master. He said in the fear of God. If we would do to our families in the fear of God, our families would be wonderfully ministered to and served. We forget that God is watching. You know, when we get all irate on our children, we forget God's watching. You know, when we go off on our husbands, we forget God's watching. When we go off on our husbands, we forget God's watching. But God is watching in the fear of God. Then we got into practicing of the roles. We saw the wife's role is to be submissive to her husband. You say, preacher, this is 2017. I'm sure God knows what year it is.
Yes, sir, he does.
And this book says the same thing it said when it was first written.
Yes,
God's not going to change the times and change the Bible with your times. Amen. Why? It's perfect. It's complete.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's done. And so submitting, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands. And I like what the Bible says here, wives' submission to her husband. The action involved, he says, wives, submit. You voluntarily place yourself under your husband's authority. The aim involved, he says, yourselves to your own husband, not somebody else's husband.
Yeah.
Amen. Ladies, let me help you out some. Don't get yourself in trouble by listening to somebody else. You listen to what your husband says. But he's wrong. Then you let God deal with him and you pray for him. Don't you go try to correct him. You pray for him. The attitude involved, as unto Christ, the Bible says, that's the way she ought to submit. Then the activity involved, it's in the home. She wants to do that as well as outside the home. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now we come to the husband's role. The husband's role. The wife's submission to her husband is seen, but then the husband's sensitivity to his wife should be shown. The husband's sensitivity to the wife should be shown. Let's notice some things about this. The Bible says this, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Love involves three things we're going to look at today, and it involves a whole lot of other things, but we're going to look at these three. By the way, just like the Bible didn't give any prerequisite to the wife, it doesn't give a prerequisite to the husband. He just says, wives, submit. Doesn't say submit if they're submittable. Doesn't say submit if they're good looking and handsome. Doesn't say submit if they've got a good head of hair. Doesn't say submit if they still have their physique and their muscle. They could have a little pooch there. They could have lost all their hair. They could be sagging in areas where they used to be firm. Submit anyway. Doesn't give any prerequisites with the love. It says, husbands, love your wives. Doesn't say, love them if they're cooking for you right. Love them if they're keeping the house clean. Doesn't say, love them if they're donning your socks. Doesn't say, love them if they're washing your clothes. Doesn't say, love them if they're doing this. It just says, husbands, love your wives. Say, preacher, why? You married them.
Amen.
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 Well, I thought she was going to turn out to be something else. I'm sure she thought you was going to turn out to be something else, too. And you did turn out to be something else. But it wasn't on the plan.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Well, you know, he wasn't the man I thought he was going to be. He's more of a man. Amen. Gain weight. The husband's sensitivity to wife. Love involves, first of all, loyalty. Loyalty. Another prerequisite is given other than to love the wife, but love involves loyalty. And love is an action word. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he what?
He gave.
Love involves some loyalty. And so if I'm going to love my wife, I've got to be loyal to her in many, many different areas. The word husband, I find this interesting. The word husband comes from the word house band. House band, which has the idea of binding the home together, supporting it and cherishing it and building it. Husbands are to band the marriage together spiritually, materially, financially, physically, and daily, meeting the needs of his wife. And so when you think of husband, think of house band. His job is to corral it all and bring it all in.
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, I didn't know that when I was getting married. You should have read the Bible. You should have read the Bible. I didn't know it either. But you know what I said? For better or for worse, till death do I part. I ain't going nowhere. House band, 1 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Listen to that again. 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Amen. And the head of Christ is God. Well, I thought we could be anything with two heads is a monster. Can you imagine if Mrs. Dawson's head was up here on the side of mine? And I was walking around. Which way are we going today, Mrs. Dawson? We're going right. No, I want to go left. I want to go right. I want to go left. Anything with two heads is a monster. Can you imagine that? Having your wife's head upside your head, husband? Now, I don't mind getting close together and saying, but I want her head to stay attached to her. And I want my head to be single by itself. I don't want her head to be upside my head over here walking around. No, that ain't going to work. I would have you know the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. Love involves loyalty to our wives, and we often confuse love with our emotions. However, it is, if it's true love, it's going to be a reflection of our will. God commands us to love our wives, and so whether you feel emotionally flowery about it matters not.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Well, I don't feel like the warm fuzzies are there. Well, you be warm and fuzzy, and it'll get there. Well, I don't feel like saying I love you. Well, say it anyway.
Amen.
Well, I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, don't and say it and mean it.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just saying love involves some loyalty. You know, ladies are some sensitive creatures. They're one of the best creations that God has made. And if we don't treat them right, they're gonna swivel, drip, what's the word, shrivel away.
Yeah.
Ladies require a lot of maintenance. No, I'm just being honest. They do. They require a lot of sensitivity. And that's why this is called the husband's sensitivity to his wife. They require a lot from us. And by the way, if they don't get it from us, they'll get it from somebody.
Yes, sir. Pastor Dawson.
And it may be the body that you don't want them to get it from. Because they crave to hear how special they are. They crave to hear how sensitive they are. They crave to hear how God made them wonderful and distinctly different from us. They crave to hear that they're doing a good job. They crave to hear thank you. They crave to be complimented. They look beautiful. Their hair is wonderful. They smell nice. You say, well, preacher, my wife is none of those things. But then you need to get busy and give her some money so she can get something done. And you're probably not looking good enough, because I'm sure there's certain things there that you don't comment on. Don't confuse love with your emotions. It's not about our feelings, because love is in actions. Ephesians 5:25 says again, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And so there's a similarity here. He's saying, husband, I want you to do for your wives exactly what I did for the church. And what did Jesus do for the church? He gave himself for it. Hey, husbands, when's the last time you put yourself out for your wife? When you gave something for her, when you sacrificed for her, when you said, hey, go out and do something. I'll keep the kids. I'll keep the house. You just go and do something sweet for yourself. Here's the credit card. Preacher, she would spend all the money. Surely she wouldn't, because she's got to run the household. Amen. You can't do it with no money. God so loved the world that he gave. God gave the example by giving his only begotten son. And so husband's sensitivity to his wife, he should give first of all himself. You know, oftentimes a wife could care less about this. Say, give her the credit card. Give her the pocket. She could care less about this. You know what she really wants, men? You. You. You know what kids really want? You. You. Four-letter word. T-I-M-E. You. I can get this anytime. But I can't get you anytime. I can't get you anytime. Hey, a swift reality. Carlene just died on Tuesday. We can't get her anymore. On this side of earth. We got to wait till we get to heaven. T-I-M-E ran out for her. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You still have it with your husband, your wife. Amen. You know what's the most valuable thing that you possess? Time. Yes,
amen.
Time. Amen, it's not about the money. It's about the time. And we can get so busy, caught up with so many things, saying, well, I've got to get my wife the greatest and the latest and the finest. Hey, how about just giving her you? She's got the greatest, she's got the latest, she's got the finest oftentimes. And she'd rather get you than the latest and the greatest and the finest. Jesus so loved the world that he took our sins. Husbands, we may have to take a lot of things in marriage. Even when it's not your fault. Hey, son broke down. What are we going to do? It's not my fault. Yes, it is, because you're the house band. You're the husband.
There you go.
Well, we don't have any money. Well, it's not my fault. Yes, it is. You're the houseband, you're the husband. Hey, did not Jesus take our sins? Was it his fault? No, it was not. And Jesus took it all. Husbands, we got to take it. You got to bring them shoulders up and shoulder the load. And I like what the Bible says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. It's not like you got to carry it all yourself. Not like you've got to be the sole provider. You put that weight on your shoulders. You say, Lord Jesus, here you go. I can't handle it. You gave me a beautiful bride and she's got some demands. I can't do it, Lord, but I know you can. Give me some wisdom. What do I need to do, Lord? What do I need to do? God will tell you exactly what you need to do. You know, we work too much and pray too little. Ooh, ow, ow, oh, ah. We're trying to work at this thing. Hey, let's start praying about this thing. Let's start praying for our wives. Let's start praying for our children. Let's pray about it. Stop working at it. For God so loved the world that he gave. God also commands us to love him. Does that involve mushy feelings? No. So why should it be so hard to love our wives? Deuteronomy 6:5, God said this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's what he told Israel. Mark 12, verse 30, they brought it up to date, and Jesus said this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And then he doesn't say, be mushy about it. He doesn't say, if you feel like it. He doesn't say, if you're having a good day. He just says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength.
Yes, sir.
Then he says, husbands, love your wives. Why? It's an act of your will. It's an act of your will. It involves some loyalty. No feelings or emotions are implied here, just an act of the will. By the way, if we would put as much emotion into our wives as we put into going golfing and going fishing and going karting and going sporting and doing all these other things and watching the movies and playing video games and put some emotion in that, amen, we put more emotion into our wives, guess what? They'd be a whole lot better off. There's a lot of time that we can give to our wives that we give to other things and other people. Amen. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. You know who's your first neighbor if you're married? Your wife. Your wife. She's your first neighbor. Again, no feelings or emotions are implied here, just an act of the will. John 13:34, Jesus put it this way, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. No feelings, just obedient actions are applied there. He didn't say, well, if you feel like loving one another. He just said, love one another. Amen. Again, we get this idea that when the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, I got to have this, oh, romantic feeling. Oh, it's so flowery. Oh, I love you so much. No, just wash the clothes. That's love. Just fold up the clothes. That's love. Just sit down and spend some time with me. That's love. But I don't feel like it right now. Tell that to your boss. Get over and make me a copy. Well, I don't feel like it, boss. But I don't feel like giving you a paycheck either. Amen. Amen. We in our society wrap too many feelings in love. When love is just an action word.
Amen.
Come on, man. Help me out now. No feelings, just obedient action. Love is not letting little things turn into big things. Song of Solomon 2:15 says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And by the way, you say, preacher, this seems hard. If you're filled with the Spirit, it's not.
Amen, Pastor.
That's why he said, prior to that, up above, and be filled with the Spirit. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. You can't do this unless you're filled with the Spirit. And you can't be filled with the Spirit unless you're saved.
Amen.
This is written to God's people. Why do you think so many marriages divorce? Because people aren't playing their roles. How can we love work? How can love work in our marriages, I should say? A communicating wife is good. However, a communicating husband is better. If you're the house band initiated, if she's walking around mopey and quiet, don't just let her stew and brew. My wife, sometimes she picks at me. She said, when I get a little upset, y'all all avoid me and y'all scatter to the four corners of the house. Y'all don't want to come around me. Somebody needs to come to me and pick me up.
Amen.
And we say, we don't know what to say. We don't want to get our heads bit off. Amen. The kids are over there. Daddy's over here. I got to be the example and say, come on, honey, it's all right. You know, the kids say, let's see if the coast is clear. Is his head still attached? Amen. He's okay. All right, kids, it's okay. Come on in. We can come in now. Hey, somebody's got to be there. Somebody's got to encourage her. Somebody's got to lift her up. Somebody's got to console her. Somebody's got to pray for her. Don't blame it on the kids. They're just kids. Go in and see if your mother's okay. Why don't you go in there and see if your mother, your wife is okay? You don't send spies out like the Canaan land. Go see if the land is good for us to conquer. God already told you to love her. Don't send no spy. Just do it. Communicating husband is better. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The idea there is dwelling with them according to knowledge is learning them, understanding how they change, understanding that they're going to be different. And by the way, if you say, well, my wife the same she was, she got married, you're lying, because she's not. She changes very frequently. She changes monthly. She changes weekly. She changes daily. She's an emotional God-created creature, and she's going to change emotionally. Your job is to know which way she's changing and go along with the change and help her out to be where she needs to be. That's your job. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So love involves loyalty, but number two, love involves limits. Love involves limits. And these limits are for their health, for their happiness, and to avoid them from having headaches. Love involves limits. Because of the emotional makeup of a woman, she oftentimes wants to do everything. And she wants to be everything. She wants to be everything for you as a husband. She wants to be everything for her children. She wants to be everything for the church. She wants to be everything for the job if she's working. She wants to naturally, emotionally be everything I need to be. It's in her nature to want to minister. You read the Bible. Who was ministering to Jesus the most? The women. She always wants to help. It's in her DNA. She's made that way. She's cut that way. As husbands, sometimes we will have to limit our wives in what they can and should do in order to be effective at their number one priority. What's that number one priority? That husband and that home. That husband comes first. And ladies, let me tell you something. The husband comes before the children. You praise God for the children, but they never should come before the husband. Never, ever, ever. Never, ever, ever. But the kids. No. A band of husband and wife together is stronger than a wife and a child. It said he's going to leave mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they should be one flesh. He never said that about children. Never said that about children. He said he's going to leave mother and father and cleave to his wife, and they're going to be one flesh. It never says you're one flesh with your children. Amen. Some people get this thing all out of whack. Well, I got to be there for my kids. No, you got to be there for your husband first. If your husband is lacking, then you are slacking. Amen. I'm not trying to play on words, but I'm just being honest. As husbands, sometimes we'll have to limit our wives into what they can do so their number one priority can be established, which is their husband and their home. We may have to keep them back from an activity they want to go to for the betterment of their health. They may have to stay home from an activity they want to go to. We may have to counsel them in limiting a ministry they're involved in. By the way, if you stop a ministry, the church is not going to die. Okay. Well, if I don't do it, who will? It won't get done. It won't get done. I mean, my wife said, she said, well, who's going to do the choir? I said, we won't have one. I said, as simple as that. I said, God never told me in the Bible, thou shalt have a choir. I said, so if we don't have a choir, we're just not going to have a choir. I am not going to pull something from over here to try and get a choir when that is not a prerequisite for me preaching the gospel. Now, I love music with the best of them. I love music with the best of them. But I am not going to let one person ruin God's church. Amen. Well, we don't have a piano player. We'll sing a cappella. We did it before. We'll do it again. What am I saying? We place too much priority on ministry. It ain't about the ministry. It's about what God wants. And what God wants is order and structure in the home first. Because if the homes are weak, the church is going to be weak. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, we've got a bunch of anemic folks out there in the home coming into church trying to minister where the husband's not on board, the wife's not on board, the kid's not on board. But we're trying to serve God meagerly and beggarly. We got no power of the Spirit because our homes are broken down. And we come in here, well, I've got to do my ministry. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's only one ministry in this church that I know needs to go on. That's this one. This is the only one needs to go on, preaching. Yes, sir. And this one establishes all the rest. Amen. We don't have to have a nursery, although it's helpful. We don't have to have children's classes, although it's helpful. Mm-hmm. We don't have to have ushers, although it's helpful. It's good to have a doorkeeper. When people get unruly, chuck them out. Amen. Yeah. You know, we don't have to have a whole lot of things that we do have. The only thing that we gotta have is this book and this word. And I'm convinced that we cannot do our job oftentimes because we've got too much time invested in ministries that we ought to be investing in this manual to do the method that God would have us to do. It's not about these ministries. Oh, this church can go on without ministries. Amen. And so, husband, sometimes you may have to limit your wife in the ministries that she does. Maybe working outside the home is becoming a problem, and maybe she needs to quit for a time. Don't live beyond your means. You say, preacher, now she's got to work because we've got these bills. Don't get them bills. I learned a long time ago, if we can't afford it on my little sergeant salary that I was making in the military, we ain't going to get it. My wife was working too. I did not count on her money. I said, I will never depend on your money because you may have to stop working. What if you get pregnant? I can't work no more. Well, put her out there until she's 9 months. You slave driver, you. Let her get taken care of. But we got bills. Don't live beyond your means. You can't make it on yours. You don't need it. I know that's not popular in our society now, this capitalist society. Well, the more you get, the more. No. You better spend what you make. You are the house band. And if you put your wife outside there and she can't take care of the home, you're in trouble. You're not following God's will. Say, preacher, that's not popular. It's not supposed to be popular. It's supposed to be biblical. And if we're God's people, that's what we ought to do. Don't live beyond your means. So, number one, love involves loyalty. We need to love, regardless of our emotions. Number two, love involves limits. Emotionally, the wife wants to do more than what she's capable of doing. Sometimes we may have to reel them back in. And then, number three, love also involves leadership. Love involves leadership. Husbands should be leading. Say, preacher, leading in what? Everything. You're the house band. You're the house band. Husbands should be leading in everything. Notice what it says down there. Husbands, love your wives. Where are we at here? Amen. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What is he going to do? That he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's going to set it apart and make it clean with the washing of water by the word. I should be leading in my devotions with my family. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I am the one that should be initiating this. I am the one that should be doing this. I am the one that should be taking my family down the right path. It's my job, never my wife's job.
Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Well, he won't read the Bible. Pray for him.
Amen.
And don't nag him. Amen. Don't. You just need to read the Bible. You heard what the preacher said. It ain't what the preacher said. What the book say? Then you go to the author of the book and pray to him and say, would you please give my husband a desire to read the word of God with me? Would you give my husband a desire to pray with me? I'm not asking for much. Just pray with me and read the Bible. It doesn't have 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Now, I remember when my wife first started, and I'm going to have devotions with my wife. And we're going to have it all the time. And then G2 was born. She said, we ought to have family devotions. I said, he's only 2 months old. He's going to cry and wet his pants. I am not, no, leave him in the crib. He'd be all right. Then one night she was reading to him. And I got convicted. I was like, I can do that. I can do that. And I started, bring him in here. I mean, God smote my heart. Said, your wife is right. You need to listen to her. Bring him in. You're going to wait until he gets 16, start devotions with him?
Yeah.
And man, I said, man, honey, you're right. We need to bring these kids in here with this Bible and teach them our values from the Bible,
sir,
before somebody else does.
Sir.
Teach them their values. And I tell you, it should be leading in devotions. Notice what he says down there. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now, every husband wants their wife to look good. Christ wants the church to look good. He says, Christ gave us the word. He wants to get us sanctified and to present to himself a glorious church. And he wants the church to look good. And that's what the word of God says. Hey, if you want your wife to look good, then you put good in her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about beat her and preach to her. I know somebody's going to say, all right, we're going to be doing Ephesians 5:25. Well, honey, we did that for the last 365 days. I know we're going to do it again. Husbands, love your wife. But no, let's get back to the other part. Wives, submit. You ain't submissive, woman. No. We want to try and preach to our wives and convict them. God does the convicting. You have no convicting power. You have some chaotic power. Well, if we just read this enough, then maybe she'll get it. Wives, submit to your husband. 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 You're supposed to be submissive, woman. Amen. Notice what he said down there. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. We want our wives to be that way. Then we've got to make sure that we keep them around the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. He says, if you love yourself, then you're going to love your wife. You're going to do something. Have some devotions and do something. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife. And they, too, should be one flesh. Now, by the way, he says one flesh. Doesn't say that you guys are going to always agree on everything.
Yeah.
You're not going to always agree. But guess who has the last say? The head. The head has the last say. Now, if it's right, praise God. If it's wrong, we sink. You say, why is that? That's what I'm afraid of. I can't swim. We're sinking and I can't swim. You got to get your little life preserver, your little ducky out there. Put the little things on us and stay afloat. Amen. Lord, help them. We're sinking. Pray for him. Pray for him. Leading. Husband ought to be leading. Several things that the husband should be leading for. Notice what he says in verse 13. Nevertheless, let every one of you particular and so particularly love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, since she reverenced her husband. Leadership. And this is the last thing that we're going to be talking about this morning, but it's going to take a few minutes to talk about this last one. He should be leading in, number one, returning to the next service. Hebrews 10:25 still says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Never should the wife have to look to you as a husband and say, are we going to church?
Right.
Never.
Amen.
Are we going to church, honey? No, 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 no. You don't ask me, are we going to church?
Yeah.
We are going to church. We are going. You better ask me, are we staying home? Because you don't have to ask me, are we going? We are going to church. Never let your wife or your children have to ask you, are we going to church?
Amen.
Leading and return to the next service. Husbands, your number one priority is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Joshua said it this way in Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are going to do this. This is a no-brainer. A no-brainer. Love involves leadership, leading and returning to the next service. Again, husbands again have the call here, and I'm treading on sensitive ground here. I understand that, but we need to be sensitive and understand when children need to stay behind. Sometimes children need to stay behind and be cared for by our spouses, but we need to share the load. If their temperature is above, is 100 or above, guess what? They need to stay home. Please, please hear me. Don't bring your children in here when they got a fever of 100. Where they can affect others in the nursery.
Yep.
Please. Sometimes we're leading and returning to the service, but let's be sensitive. You don't want to get every child sick in the nursery.
Right,
and so sometimes we have to say, okay, honey, you need to stay behind with the kids. Most of all, we need to be aware of our wife's condition so we can communicate. Sometimes she may have to stay. Sometimes you may have to share the load. Say, all right, honey, you missed this morning. I'll stay home with the kids tonight. And switch up. Don't just make her stay home all the time.
Amen.
Well, that's my role as the husband. I'm supposed to lead. You're supposed to love.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
She needs to hear the word of God, too.
Amen.
She needs to be in God's house, too. She needs the fellowship of the brethren, too. She needs the encouragement, too. She needs to be here, too. You're not the only one.
Amen.
She needs help. And sometimes you may have to say, honey, you stay home and I'll go with the kids. By the way, rarely does it take everybody to stay at home. Rarely does it. On some occasions, yes. But rarely does it take everybody to stay at home. You run the risk of getting infected yourself the longer you stay there.
Mm-hmm.
However, husbands, we enter dangerous waters. We begin to agree and allow family members to miss and skip church for reasons that are not valid according to the word of God. We violate Hebrews 10:25 by our agreement and acceptance of it as the man of the house. We will have to answer to God. When Eve ate of the fruit, when God came in the garden, he didn't come looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam. He said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? He said, well, you know, I was naked and I hid myself. Who told thee that thou was naked? Have you eaten of that tree? Well, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave. Oh, no, it's the wife's fault. No, but he came looking for Adam. Husbands, we're in dangerous waters. We would let our families control what God says and violate what God says. Never should church attendance be based on a feeling. I don't feel like going. Did Jesus feel like going to the cross? Try that with your boss. I don't feel like coming to work today. He will say, well, I don't feel like giving you a paycheck today. Let your children try it. I don't feel like obeying you today. It won't fly. It won't fly. Well, I don't feel like obeying you today. Let G2 say that. He's looking. He even know that won't play. They hear kids in the supermarket. And
They told them to do that. They said, no, daddy, if I said that, ooh, boy. I said, ooh, I'm glad you know what happened if you do that. And that prevents you from doing that. Amen. You know what God will do. Often we don't think twice about telling God, I don't feel like it, but by our excuses, but we won't let our children get away with it, because if they do it, we'll get fired up. Won't work on our bosses, and it won't work on your children. It won't work on God either. It's the same principle. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, it's a matter of his. Well, I don't feel like obeying that. The child says, well, I don't feel like picking that up. Boy, you find them picking themselves up. But when it comes to God's word, we want to treat God's word a little different. Well, see, I ain't going to tell my boss that I'm not coming. I don't feel like coming to work because I know I need to. Well, I'm not going to let my children get away with it because I know that's not right. But I feel like telling God I'm not coming. Ooh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. See the hypocrisy in that? It's not about a feeling. It's about a fact. What's right? Men, what I'm saying is that leadership involves us leading and returning to worship. That's our leadership. That's what God demands. That's what he told Israel. That's what he's telling in the New Testament. That's our responsibility. It's not about feeling, but a fact of what's right. School, work, errands, and etc. All are excuses, but church is not going to be one of them. By the way, what example are you putting before your family that it is your priority? Your priority. Dads, you are responsible for your wives and your children's decisions, and God holds you accountable. My children have told me on many occasions, Dad, I don't feel like going to church today. You know what I say? I say, in my flesh, I don't feel like going either. I'll be honest with you. I don't feel like going. I'd like to stay in bed, too. Let's all stay in the bed. Then they get that look. Say, yeah, you know that ain't right. I said, because we know we have to go. It's not what we feel. It's about what we know is right. Because I don't feel like going sometimes. Now, how many of y'all feel like coming to church every time? Every time. Yeah, I always feel like coming. None of us feel like coming all the time. Beds feel warm. Amen.
Amen, Pastor.
Bodies get tired. We get worn. We work. And sometimes we don't feel like it. But did Jesus feel like going to the cross?
No, he did not.
But he says, husbands, love your wives, even if Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Leadership involves leading to return. Give you these others real quick. By the way, husbands, don't drag your families to church.
Amen.
Don't make them go to church. Show them by how you go to church.
Amen.
Show them by how you go. Show them with the attitude that you go with. We're going to church. We're going to praise God. When we get there, you better sing too. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's go. We're going to pray too. Lord, help us. You need some help. You need some help. If I'm the kid, I don't want to go to church with you either. I'd rather stay at home with somebody. Like, no, I'm not going with that, Grumpy Greg. No, it ain't going to happen. Let's be excited about the house of God. Like, whoa, I get to go to church. Amen. In a communist country, they don't have that privilege. Over in Islam, they don't have that privilege. They don't have that opportunity. I get to go to church. Hallelujah. Praise God. I get to go. Very quickly, leading and returning to the house of God, leading and reading the word of God, 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, leading them to realize their family's potential. The Bible says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Realize your family's potential. God has something he wants to do for your family and in your family and through your family. You may be raising the next preacher. You may be raising the next preacher's wife. You may be raising the next evangelist, the next missionary, or the next composer. You may be raising the next one who's going to make a difference. Think about Moses. Moses' parents raised him. Why? He was going to make a difference. Did they know that when he was born? No, they just knew there was something special about him. There's something special about every child. And we've got to realize their potential. We don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. It's untapped potential. And God needs to plug into them and let them know what their capabilities are. And daddies, it starts with you and I, and it starts with moms praying for them and then getting them where they need to be and returning and reading with them and realizing their potential. Dads need to be leading and respecting the things of God as well. We mentioned Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then lastly, dads need to be leading in reverence towards the man of God. Hebrews 13:17. Let's go over there real quick. Hebrews 13:17. By the way, may I add that the wives are not going to always understand decisions that the pastor makes. The husband may not always understand it either, but guess what? He should always be supportive. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Leading and reverencing the man of God. There should never be an end. My wife is here right now, and she can testify. I've had two pastors in my lifetime, Pastor Bennett and Pastor Nelson. She has never heard me say one ill word about neither of them. She has always heard me support them, even when I didn't agree with what they had to say. When I didn't agree with what they had to say, I never told her. I never told her. I said, honey, if that's what the man of God wants, that's what we need to do. She can go and tell you from in here in this church, I've never said an ill word about both of either of my pastors. Now, did I agree with them? Not always. Did she know? No, she didn't. Why? My job is to show support and reverence to the man of God. Why? He's going to be preaching to her. He's going to be preaching and she's going to hear it. And if I put some garbage in her ear, she's going to be looking at him saying, And you trying to preach and my husband don't even agree with you. And I need to obey my own husband. And you ain't my husband, but he's your pastor. He's your pastor. And I tell you, you get yourself in trouble when you don't reverence the man of God, men. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just trying to tell you what's Bible, what's factual, what's right. When you throw a stone up here at this pulpit area against the man of God, now if he's in doctrinal error, hallelujah, praise God, throw a stone. But do it in love. Come and correct me in private. But you always, always reverence the man of God. Because he is the one who's going to feed your children and your family the word of God. And if you have put some ill stuff out there, guess what? They will not hear anything that he's got to say. Because the only thing they're going to think about, well, my daddy doesn't agree with you. My daddy don't agree with you. He said, you're just out there. I'm trying to help you here. Amen. Husband, we have a job to do. We have a job to do. And God is holding us accountable for some things. In summary, our obedience in the roles God assigned to us involves a revelation by the Holy Spirit, and it's energized by him and his word. It involves relevance. It's consistent with today's society. Psalm 119, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. It involves requirement. To be successful, you and I have no options but to obey what God has said, whether it's to love or whether it's to obey or whether it's to be submissive. It involves reason. The woman was made to submit. The man was made to lead. And God gave different purposes to each one to complete and complement the other. It involves regulation. Wife, she submits as unto the Lord. The husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And it involves relationship. The relationship evolves around Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
Men, we have a job to do. And we have a big job. There's only one word, husband's love. Only one word, but there's a lot that goes into that word. All we have to do is look at Jesus and say, what did he do for us in going to the cross? For God so loved the world. My question is this. Many homes fail because one or more parties are not born again. Husband, are you truly born again? If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Have you placed your faith, your confidence, your trust in nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection? Wife, have you done that? Can you go to a place in your life? I'm not talking about an emotional decision. I'm talking about a factual decision based upon what you knew the Bible said, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What you knew the Bible says, the wages of sin are death. Which you knew that I am a sinner and I've got a penalty to pay in a place called hell. But you understood that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And I want to get rescued from hell. I don't want to go to hell. And Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection was for me. And wife, was there a time when you trusted in that precious blood? Children, has there been a time that you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, believing that he's the only way to heaven? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, this Christian home can only work properly if there's a head. And that head is the husband, and he's saved. But the head of that husband is Christ, and he's leading. And that wife is submissive to the head underneath that husband. And she's following his directions voluntarily. And then those children are obedient to that ownership that they place on their lives. But they're all looking up to the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that is how a Christian home works. But there will be no Christian home without the Bible working in the home. Is our job tough, men? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes, it is. It involves a lot. We have to take a lot. And a lot may not be our fault. But Jesus took it all, and none of it was his fault. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Gave you three simple things. It involves love. It involves your limits. It involves your loyalty. And with that limits, you got leadership involves. Leadership involves returning to the next service. Reading the Word of God, realizing your family's potential, respecting the things of God, reverencing the man of God. It all goes right back to the beginning. Are we going to do what God says? Are we perfect? No. But we have a perfect Word. We have a perfect God. And a powerful, perfect Holy Spirit to enable us to do this. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Just for a few moments. Oh God, we know that the wife's job is to submit. And sometimes as husbands, we're not the best to submit to. We know our job is to love our wives, and sometimes we're not so lovely and obedient in doing that. We know the children's job is to obey. And God, I pray that you would help us today to fill the area, the void that we have, and to do what you would have us to do. Thank you so much for loving us. Meet our need today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Ask a question to you today. If you were to die today, are you sure that you would go to heaven? Or do you have some doubts? If you've got some doubts, why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home? I'm not so naive to believe that everybody in here is born again. Everybody is saved. And that's why some houses aren't able to function well. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm going to ask you a question again. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. If you were to die right now, are you sure you go to heaven or do you have some doubts? If you got some doubts, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? You can put it right back down. I just want to acknowledge it and pray for you. Man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this auditorium. Preacher, if I die right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Would you please pray for me? I won't call you out by name. I will just acknowledge your hand. You can put it right back down. Is there one? Man, woman, boy, or girl, right where you're sitting. You don't have to move. Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Next, wife, are you doing your job as far as submission? Husband, are you doing your job as far as loving? Children, are you doing your job as far as obeying? You know the answer to that. Maybe you need to pray that God would help you to improve your obedience, maybe to improve your love, or maybe to improve your submission. Maybe you need to ask God to make you more filled with the Spirit on a regular basis so that you can do what he's called you to do. In just a moment, we're going to pray and have an invitation. If God spoke in your heart, would you come? do business with God, whether you're a wife, a husband, or a child. Father, bless now this invitation. Lord, in a group this size, I am convinced that not every one of us is born again. Maybe perhaps someone needs to step out by faith. And as the song was sang this morning, is it a time like this that you have been created for and waiting for? I pray they would reach out and take your hand, walk through the open door of faith, and do what you would have them to do by way of repenting, changing their mind and their heart towards you, accepting you as Lord and Savior and Master, and leaving here victorious, believing the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help that man, help that woman, help that boy or girl today. Make that step and that decision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. As the music plays, maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to come. Kneel at an old-fashioned altar and pray. Maybe as a husband, you need to pray more for your role. You can be a little bit more loving. Maybe as a wife, you need to pray about being a little bit more submissive. Maybe as a child, you need to come and pray a little bit more about being obedient. Our roles defined. God has laid those roles down in the scripture. But it involves so many things. Love. Leadership. Loyalty. Sometimes placing limits on life. Maybe here today without Jesus Christ and you've never been born again. We want to help you today. We'd like to see you become a Christian today. By the way, becoming a Christian is not joining the church. It's not being baptized. It's not about being good. It's not about how much money you can give. It's about receiving Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sin. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Christians are praying. Maybe somebody's praying for you as a husband, as a wife, maybe as a child. But the Bible is clear. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Would you let God's word encourage your heart? Would you receive his love gift? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever lives in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, God loves you. But God commended his love toward us, and while we yet sinners, Christ died for us, the just for the unjust. It might bring us to God. How about you today? Let's leave differently than when we came in, practicing our role. Whether that role is one of submission, whether that role is of love, with that bones, with obedience, submitting yourself one to another in fear of God. Let God speak to your heart today. Only trust him. Only trust him. How about it? Would you like to be saved today? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to be saved today? He loves you. He's waiting for you. Our Father, thank you for being such a wonderful creator. Thank you for being such a loving God. Thank you for the home that you created, creating man and woman in your image, and then putting them in a home, blessing them and telling them to be fruitful and multiply. And God, thank you that that blueprint has not changed and the roles are still the same. Thank you that you have not changed. Lord, help us to fulfill our God-given roles. Lord, we know society has pushed in on the home. Society has done many things to the home. But God, help us to remain faithful to your blueprint for the home. Help us be energized by your spirit. to carry out that which you would have us to carry out. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings. Max, Pastor White, if you would come and close us in a word of prayer. Don't forget, tonight, Pastor White is going to be preaching 5 o'clock.
I can't wait.
Love for you to come back tonight.